Welcome to Parenting Matters on Nashville Catholic Radio, WBOU 100.5 FM, sponsored by the Family Life Office of the Diocese of Nashville and Holy Family Catholic Church. Your host for the program is Dr. Parr Donahue. Dr. Parr has years of experience in pediatrics and parenting. He was named the Senior Pediatrician of the Year by the Tennessee Chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics in 2014. Dr. Parr is the author of four books, including books on parenting, entitled Messengers in Denim, The Amazing Things Parents Can Learn from Teens, and Tools for Effective Parenting. Visit Dr. Parr's blog at www.parentingwithdrparr.com. Today's topic is how to make religion something your kids will talk about all week long. This episode was sponsored by Holy Family Catholic Church in Brentwood, Tennessee.
Welcome to Parenting Matters on WBOU-FM, 100.5 on your dial, and streaming throughout the world at WBOU.org. Our subject today is how to make religion something your kids will talk about all week long. Our guest expert is Catherine Bridwell, Director of Religious Education at Holy Family, and two Holy Family parishioners, Todd Featherling and Megan Proctor, will join her to round out our panel. Great big welcome to you, our guests, and to you, our listeners. Now my monologue. Late in the winter of 1973, Mary and I were discussing the Roe versus Wade decision in the kitchen when our almost 12-year-old son came into the room. "I don't know why you are so upset with that," he said with disgust in his voice. "The Supreme Court said it's okay. It's okay, right?" Mary and I were horrified. "Sit down," I said. "We need to talk." And the three of us talked. Mary and I learned a lesson that day which has been sealed in our hearts ever since. Values, right and wrong, good and evil, must be taught at home, or they will be taught by the media. A year later, that now 12-year-old man, son, stood on the steps of the Wisconsin State Capitol building and told a huge crowd of people who were frozen on the outside by the icy rain, but whose hearts were on fire with love, just why Roe versus Wade was wrong. Parenting, as we said in our very first show, is all about teaching kids the values that will lead them to become men and women filled with integrity, truth, and character. No one can do it better than parents. Churches, sermons, Sunday school, Bible studies are all fine aids, but they are only supplements to parental teaching. Now, Holy Family members have come up with what I consider an ideal way to teach these values to kids. They call it FRED, Family Religious Education. We have with us today two Holy Family people who will, along with their kids, participate and lead in FRED. I'm going to change my format today a bit and introduce them first. They will tell us how the program started and how it works. Following this, we'll invite Catherine Bridwell to tell us how FRED fits into the Holy Family Religious Ed program. Welcome, Todd and Megan, to Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming throughout the world on WBOU.org. Todd is a local man, born here and educated at UT. He is currently the CEO of Perception Health, which helps hospitals drive more revenue, align physicians, and reduce risks. He and his wife have four kids, ages 10 to 19. Megan is from Louisville, Kentucky. She earned her BA from Bellarmine University and MA from University of Louisville. She and her husband have two children, Anna, 13, and Nate, 10. She's a personal health coach and life coach. She, like Todd, are members of Holy Family. Todd, why don't you start off and tell us how FRED came to be and how long you've been involved.
Great. Yeah, FRED started in 2002 here at Holy Family, a group of families that have really been long-term leaders in the church, the Dooleys, the St. Jocks, the Carls, came together to put together a program for families to really come together in a circle originally. The original name was the Family Faith Circle, whereby each week they would gather and pray together between the masses. So during the religious education time, And over the years, with guidance from Catherine, we've been able to grow and mature the curriculum and the number of families that are participating. Our family originally got involved around 2008, so we've been there about 10 years now.
Mm-hmm. And Megan, what has been your experience?
We joined 2 years ago, and each week we come together, we have a theme or a predominant lesson. A family hosts the lesson, so they'll offer a little bit about themselves and share with the group what the gospel for the week, kind of talk about it for a little bit. We also explore saints and maybe sing a song, play a game, or have an activity that brings the lesson together. And on alternate weeks, we might break out and have a family lead different age groups. Kids have the activity for their own age group that follows the theme. And then the adults get an opportunity to come together and have a little bit of adult family or faith formation.
Todd, do you have a syllabus that you work with or a program that is provided for you, or just on your own?
Well, actually a little bit of both. So we take the resources from the religious education department and Catherine and put those pieces in place for the children to follow whenever they're in their breakout session. Then we'll go sort of a step further, as Megan was talking about, and look at today's readings for that Sunday and see if there is a theme, a saint that goes along with that saint of the day, as well as, you know, if there are any liturgical calendar events in particular, like Lent or Advent, and dig deeper into those subject areas and then, you know, make fun activities. 1 year we created a very large rosary out of balloons. A little windy that day, but it made for a very good experience for the kids to learn about the rosary while they were actually having an activity. Mm-hmm. And then we've also made wooden rosaries, one of which hangs in the Life Team room still today.
Oh, so. I saw that there. You told me that the conversation with your kids will last all week long. How does that work?
In particular, you know, we sometimes get into subject areas, as you mentioned, Roe v. Wade or the death penalty or even something that's going on in Washington that might be a focus of the conversation. And then, you know, frequently throughout the week at dinner time, that same conversation might be they might feel more comfortable asking us more detailed questions at home instead of in the group setting, although everybody's pretty open. Many of the families have been in the group for years and, you know, have all become part of our tribe, if you would. Mm-hmm. And people are pretty open about the discussion and monologue.
That sounds like it would have been a perfect place to discuss Roe versus Wade way back in 1973. Megan, can you enlarge at all about how this program works?
Well, for us, it's been a really fun experience together as a family. So. Mm-hmm. Our kids look forward to coming in. Mm-hmm. They really enjoy putting together the lesson when it's our turn to host. They love presenting and being part of a bigger community. They enjoy talking with other families or meeting other kids. In a lot of ways, it normalizes our conversation about our faith throughout the week so that other families are also having these conversations. There might be an opportunity during the lesson for someone to bring up something that's been on their family's heart or a concern they have, maybe a prayer they're offering, and that leads our family to understand everyone is talking about these things, or a lot of people that share our faith are talking about these things, and that makes it easier to continue during the week.
It sure gives you a feeling of community, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Now let's hear from Catherine Bridwell. She's the Director of Religious Education here at Holy Family. Welcome, Catherine, to Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming on WBOU.org. It's a real pleasure to have you on the show. Catherine, tell us, about the RE program at Holy Family. How many students do you serve? How many days and nights do you work? How many teachers do you have? Things like that, just some of the physical things about it.
We ended the year with a little over 1,100 children. Wow. That is from three-year-olds through the eighth grade. Serving those children, we have about 220 to 230 catechists. Wow. We try to maintain, well, we do always have at least two catechists per classroom, but we also, in many situations, we'll have three or four because of people's work schedules, travel schedules. Mm-hmm. They rotate the responsibility. I have been working on this process of recruitment for catechists lately and trying to get stories from people who have been teaching for several years. And it's the main theme I get from the catechists is that they're saying that in preparing for the lessons, they feel like they're continuing to learn and learning things that they probably learned as children, but they're able to take it a little bit deeper as an adult while they prepare. We have the preschool and kindergarten during the masses Sunday mornings. We have first through eighth grade Sunday mornings between the preschool and kindergarten during the masses. First through eighth grade is between the masses Sunday morning. We have a session Sunday evening, 6:45, and two sessions on Wednesday, 4:30 and 5:45.
So it kind of keeps you busy, doesn't it?
It's a little busy. A lot of great support around here.
Catherine, what kind of training do the teachers have?
We have a catechist orientation every year, mm-hmm. and that's trained in the program. We mm-hmm. we tweak it every year. It just depends on the needs of the mm-hmm. Of the teachers for the year. Last year, we have a parishioner. His name is Robert Fiducia, and he does wonderful work around the world, actually, and he mm-hmm. is helping us revitalize some of our youth programs. Mm-hmm. And last year, for the catechist training, it was more of a reflective opportunity, more of a mm-hmm. reflective, and then just a little bit on the training, and we'll probably lean into more of that type program again this
sure.
year.
Now, is this training program Holy Families, or is it a diocesan thing?
What program?
The training, the teacher training program.
We just do our own.
We do our own.
The diocesan is all about the child protection. That's what they do. But we are able to select our own curriculum. Mm-hmm. Each parish selects mm-hmm. their own curriculum.
Well, that's good. Now, how do you think that the FRED program works in with your regular program? Because it seems like it's a one size fits all from, what, first to sixth grade or eighth grade?
Through eighth grade.
And then, but is your confirmation program for seventh and eighth graders, is that separate from this or in addition to this or combined with this?
Well, that's really where we work together. Mm-hmm. So Chase, my son, went through confirmation last year. Mm-hmm. So he didn't participate in FRED, but instead took the confirmation mm-hmm. class with the Mahonies. And so that works very well through First Communion confirmation. But then each individual class, so K through one, will meet together. Second graders are in First Communion, then third, fourth, and fifth will meet together in seventh and eighth.
Catherine, one thing that we're always concerned about with whenever you have kids mm-hmm. is their safety.
Yes.
And what kind of a program do you have to maintain the safety of the children when they're in a classroom or in the church building itself?
Well, every volunteer who is, you know, as a catechist for religious ed or any of the activities we do up here, VBS, whatever, has to have a background check, and it's an agency through the diocese. Mm-hmm. So they're all background checked. We have 2 deep leadership. They also have to read and sign off on the diocesan code of conduct. Mm-hmm. And there's an online training of detecting child abuse through the diocese as well mm-hmm. that each of our volunteers are required to do.
Now, do all the parents who are in the FRED program have to go through that too?
They are all considered catechists
cool.
as well.
That's very nice. Yes. So important. Wow. Catherine, do you think there's a difference when the kids come to the confirmation classes who have been in FRED compared to those who have not been in FRED?
You know, I really hadn't noticed a big mm-hmm. difference. I think mm-hmm. really we're using the same curriculum. It's just really each individual classroom mm-hmm. is presented a different way because we have individual catechists. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think each classroom experience is going to be a little bit different than the other. I think what I've seen through the years with Family Religious Ed, originally Family Faith Circle, what I've seen there is a real opportunity for families to form community.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe more than, I mean, I know y'all are doing great things in the classroom, but I think that community being formed is very important, not only for the parents, but for the children to have those relationships mm-hmm. through the years.
How many members do you have in your FRED program at a particular week?
In a particular week, there'll be 20 to 30 people mm-hmm. that'll be there. We've been as high as about 75 between all the family members. But we're, you know, obviously a very active church, and lots of people have sporting activities and other vacation conflicts mm-hmm. and all that other good stuff. So it's rare that like all 75 people would show up at mm-hmm. a single time, but it has happened. And the Life Teen Room where we meet gets a little crowded at times whenever it's like that. And it does ebb and flow. Sometimes there's been 35, 40, sometimes there's been 75. So it sort of depends on our own personal outreach. Mm-hmm. And as Catherine said, that community, and Megan alluded to it as well. I mean, I've found over the years that, you know, these are some of my best friends now. We have a Super Bowl party every mm-hmm. year together. We usually have a summer outing together. So we're getting together throughout the year, and it's really extending the religious ed program mm-hmm. for everyone.
It seems to me that this should be a really popular program, and that you should have 6 or 8 different groups in the community. Is there any attempt to broaden this program? Would that be for you or Catherine?
We can always look at it. I don't know. Maybe even offer it at a different time, because what I've found through the years up here and anywhere is family dynamics just change mm-hmm. and shifts, you know, whether it's sports or activities, whatever. And so I feel like we always need to be aware as best we can of what's going on in the community and mm-hmm. the families mm-hmm. and try to meet those needs. So mm-hmm. it definitely could mm-hmm. be something we could look into.
You know, I think talking about the family dynamics, and you're right, they have changed. Do you have any program or any special thing for the single parent parent, because they have special needs, and are we addressing them?
We have a number of single parents mm-hmm. who attend Family mm-hmm. Faith. I personally am married, but my husband does not attend church with mm-hmm. us, mm-hmm. so we are a trio instead mm-hmm. of foursome mm-hmm. on Sunday mornings. Mm-hmm. We have several other moms mm-hmm. who come with their children, and that, I think, just adds to the richness of our prayer life mm-hmm. and to the conversations that that we're having, that all of our families may look different even if we are in the same church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you could change the program, Todd, what would you do differently?
That's a good question. Because I think we are constantly evolving. Mm-hmm. Every year we get with Catherine and try to figure out what we can do better. Over the last 3 years, Cheryl Bryant, one of our FRED members, has really developed a more strict curriculum guide. There's flexibility in it, but you can pick between different readings, different saints. But we're following a guideline now mm-hmm. for each family member, so that people don't have to solely rely on their creativeness mm-hmm. to come up with a lesson plan for that week. That's a little daunting for maybe a first-time family and FRED to teach.
Yeah.
You know, it's very interesting being the male here that I see a lot of dads who are really afraid of teaching, being a catechist, and talking. Certainly not the case in FRED with Rocco and Todd and some
Rocco
of the
in
others.
There.
Yeah.
Great.
So, you know, it's the other aspect that we continue to grow is the service side of what we're doing and trying to teach our kids to have that servant mentality. Mm-hmm. So whether it's Room at the Inn, the Samaritan's Purse, different programs that we're participating in as a family also sort of helps that conversation just keep going throughout the week.
Good. Catherine, is there any evidence that this kind of a program exists in other churches, other parishes?
I haven't heard of anything like what we do. I'm sure there probably are programs like that in other parishes.
But wouldn't it be heroic, in a sense, to bring something like this to the other parishes, to the diocese?
Well, they're through our DRE meetings, people are aware that this mm-hmm. is happening at Holy mm-hmm. Family, but we certainly could put it out there.
I'm not assigning anybody work.
Well, but Paul Ney, who's just been promoted up to D.C., local attorney, heavily involved with the diocese, was it a year and a half ago, 2 years ago now, brought all the dioceses together for some of this best practice sharing. So there's a unique program at St. Henry's that we were taking a look at. We've shared what we're doing with Fred, with other churches. I just don't know if anybody else has adopted the program the way we envisioned it happening. But, you know, we would, you know, certainly encourage it to grow, and, you know, it's become a bedrock of our family. So, you know, our kids look forward to religious ed now. So.
Is that right?
That's true.
Interesting. And how does this fit into the high school program?
Not well. I struggle with our high school students as much as anybody. Laura, our daughter, who's 16 now, was a catechist and taught third grade last year. So Renee St. Jacques has probably been the best about continuing in Fred and helping lead the classes, the breakout classes of the younger kids. So, you know, I think we're all challenged to get high schoolers to really get engaged with church so we don't lose them, you know, through those years.
It's really a big problem that so many people have the sort of the notion that religion is for women and kids. But once you get confirmed, then it's not necessary anymore. At least you get that feeling when you go out to the community, how many kids do not go to church as high school. Because I wonder if there's some way that you could work this program into the high school group.
It's one of those things we ought to open up a dialogue with, you know, and we have a new communication director here as well, as far as, you know, growing and extending it and marketing internally to just our parishioners what's available. So I think we're all pretty optimistic that we're kind of on an upswing on engagement and bringing in more families who want to participate in FRED.
If I were a new member of this community, moved in here in the summer, my kids are going to go to school this fall, and time to register for IEC. How would I know that this family program works? I mean, it's available.
On the religious ed form, there's an option C, which is the FRED option. So they would have that on the form. It's also in the bulletin, and we, you know, communicate, I think, pretty well about the different options that are available around religious ed.
And is on the form, is it tell you what FRED is? I mean, does it, how it works, anything about it?
It just says the family religious ed, but then that's, people will ask questions about what it is.
Because that, to me, I think that's just, our family is our own, what's it called, church, home?
Our domestic church.
Domestic church.
Right. Absolutely. I think one of our best assets in terms of advertising ourselves has been our two events that we host for the entire parish, which are the Breakfast with St. Nick or Santa, and our Easter egg hunt. So our group puts those two programs together. They're obviously very family focused and young family oriented. So that gives us an opportunity to let people know that we're hosting this event, and then to encourage them to choose Family Faith or FRED the following our year.
You know, it makes me feel that this program, like I say, I think is just a wonderful thing. And I've been in this parish for, I don't know, 12 years maybe. And I knew I came to the program once a few years ago, and but I didn't really know what it was, anything about it. Of course, my kids are all your age and older, so that I didn't have a need to know. But I have been always interested in the religious education program, because I just think it's so important, and so many kids are not getting anything out there.
And Sean and his kids were in Family Faith Circle back in the day.
Yeah.
So
I did not know that until I think you told me, maybe you did, Catherine. And then, of course, they were in that before I moved to town. We were out of town. But I spent the week last week with them. We were on vacation in Colorado. What a great time we had. But we got a chance to talk to them about this. And, why don't I know about this? You know, and if I don't know about this, how does anybody else know about this?
Well, I think we take opportunities as often as we can. Last night I was with a junior youth event, so had the opportunity to talk to three moms who have junior youth age kids. That means they're sixth through eighth grade, and talk to them about that being an option. And they had said they'd heard lots of things about it before and hadn't really asked enough questions before, so they were glad to get to hear more, and that'll happen more and more as people talk about
it. It's really interesting that this thing happened, you know, because I think it just sort of happened, that people being interested and made it work. Well, this has just been a phenomenal discussion for me. I've learned a lot, and I think our listeners are going to learn a lot, too. If anybody hears this and wants to get on, how would they get a hold of you, Catherine?
Well, they could just call the church office and ask for me, or my email address is catherine.bertle@holyfamilycc.com.
Cool. Well, thank you so very much. You have really not only piqued my interest, but almost stimulated me to do something. So I will think about that for a while. You've been listening to WBOU-FM 100.5 on your dial and streaming on WBOU. It's time to wrap this up. But before I sign off, I want to have one quick story. A few years ago, during his health evaluation, a young Jewish boy told me about his recent bar mitzvah. I congratulated him on being active in his religion and said, "Your folks must be so proud of you." I use that a lot when I talk to kids because I think it's so important for them to know that. Then I said, "As I'm sure your rabbi is." "Matter of fact," I continued, "so am I. I wish I were a rabbi so I could bless you." Well, he blushed with the compliment and said, "Thanks. But you don't have to be a rabbi to bless anybody. Anybody can bless anybody at any time." "You're absolutely right," I said. "May I bless you before you leave?" "Sure," he said. "I'd like that." I placed my hands on his head and began, "May God." And he said, "Don't touch my hair," he interrupted, letting me know he was a teenager and didn't want his hair messed up. "Oh, I'm sorry," I blushed. So I responded, lifting my hand over his head a few inches, and said, "Let me continue. May the God of Abraham, the God of Moses, the God of all of our forefathers, bless you today and every day of your life." "Amen," Aaron answered. Then with a wink in his eye, he said, "You might make a good rabbi." Now, to some people, my blessing Aaron may seem unusual, but when someone sneezes, most of us say, "God bless you." In Tennessee, many people offer a blessing as a goodbye. "Nice seeing you. God bless you," they'll say. And the good friend answers, "God bless you too." We're accustomed to blessing our food, our guests, our homes, our work, and even ourselves. But other than at mealtime, how often do we think to bless others? So now here's your homework. Bless your kids every day, perhaps at bedtime, breakfast time, or as they leave for school or a game. Take a minute, hold your hands above them, and bless them. May God bless you and watch over you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, ask them to respond, amen. Or make up your own blessing. Then go to my website, www.parentingwithdrparr.com, and tell us how long it took before you felt comfortable blessing your children and how they reacted to your blessing. And finally, let us know how you felt when you adjusted to doing so. And if you would like to be a guest on Parenting Matters, add a short bio to your note and tell me what you would like to discuss or have discussed on our show. Thank you for listening, and may God bless and continue to bless you and your family.
You've been listening to Parenting Matters with Dr. Parr Donahue. This episode was sponsored by Holy Family Catholic Church in Brentwood, Tennessee. Listen to our next episode about dealing with cell phone and other media addictions.